This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show with me, T. Shaoik. In recent weeks, hand, foot and mouth disease cases have risen sharply nationwide, exceeding warning levels in almost all states. Over 35,000 cases of hand, foot and mouth disease have been reported since the beginning of this year, leading to the closure of more than 460 premises, including nurseries, preschools, kindergartens and two schools. We get an update from Datuk Dr. Chong Chi Kiong, Director of the Disease Control Division in the Ministry of Health. Good afternoon, Dr. Chong. Thank you for joining us. What is causing the huge spike in hand, foot and mouth cases, and should we be worried about why it is spreading so rapidly?
Yes, thank you very much, Xiaoyi. First of all, hand, foot and mouth disease has always been in the Malaysian scene. We do get cases every year, and there is a pattern to these cases. So over the last 5 years, you will notice that there is always an increasing trend at the beginning of the year, and then picking up during the close to the mid-year, and then coming down towards the end of the year. Unfortunately for us, the spike this year is exceptionally high. We seem to be getting many more cases than we have. I cannot say exactly what the reason is, but what we do notice is that the type of virus that is driving this outbreak is different from the previous years. It used to be driven by a virus known as Coxsackie A. We seem to be having this outbreak driven by another virus, which is EV71. So I believe that this is one of the main reasons why our outbreak is so high.
Is there any indication that the virus is mutating in some way? Is there cause for concern there?
At this moment, we do not see any signs that it's mutating. In fact, if you were to take outbreaks that happened before the year 2000, that means in the late 1990s and even in the early 2000s, outbreaks like this are usually associated with mortality, deaths. So we have a mortality in the region of 30-40 cases of deaths from smaller outbreaks in the pre-2000 years. And during the early 2000 years, we have about 15-16 cases during outbreaks like this. But somehow, probably because of immunity and also because the virus has not been mutated much and we are not seeing any different strains of the virus, the last 5 years has seen very low mortality. In fact, our last death was around 5 years ago, and in the last 5 years, we do not have any death directly related to this HFMD.
But with the sharp rise in cases this year, should we be concerned about fatalities or other serious complications?
Yes. So this is one reason why we are extremely concerned. Now, whatever diseases, if the numbers are tremendously high, we do expect more complications. In this case, because the numbers are now way beyond what we expect, we do expect more complications from this disease. We haven't seen it much yet at this moment, and we are very thankful for that. The other thing that we also worried is that if when the cases are many, the chances of mutation is there. So if we suddenly have a different strain coming in or a mutation of sorts, it may not be good for us. We may get more severe cases.
What are the complications that we should be looking out for?
The normal signs and symptoms of hand, foot and mouth disease is of course the blisters in the hands, the feet and the mouth. Of course, fever is there, and the baby is ill with a fever, crying, difficulty in taking food. Complications that we are afraid of will be when it infects the brain, what we call encephalitis, when it infects the heart, what we call a myocarditis. Sometimes it even infects the lungs as well.
Could you reiterate the advice on what parents and schools have to do to control the spread of the virus?
Yes. So on the part of the parents, of course, the first thing is to see whether your child is ill or not, and if it's not feeling well, or if you happen to come across blisters on his hands, feet and mouth, then we should seek treatment, take him to the doctor. And more important is that we should not send him to schools or nurseries, as he can spread to other children. And of course, within our own home and house, we do have other children besides the child that is ill. So keeping this child who is ill separate from your other children is also another important thing that we should try to do. Of course, I know it's not easy, especially when siblings play together and you're in the same house. But we should try, especially when they are having blisters in the hands and their feet. The virus resides in the blisters, the fluids in the blisters, as well as in the stool. So one mode of contact, of course, will be when the child plays with the toys and they share the toys with the other siblings or their friends in the nurseries. It will be transmitted, the virus will spread from him, the child who is ill, to the other toddlers. So probably the teachers or the nursery caretakers would have to ensure that they clean the toys properly, disinfect the toys. We also would like to ask the nurseries to do what we call gatekeeping. That is to say, check the children coming to the nurseries or the kindergartens or the primary schools to see that they are not ill, by checking their hands and their mouth, of course. And if they happen to be ill, we should request for the parents to take them back home. One thing that's extra that we want to teach the children who are well is prevention. Hand washing is extremely important. The virus is also spread when our hands are dirty. We happen to touch surfaces that are contaminated with the viruses. So when the child touches such surfaces and they rub their eyes, when they put their hands in their mouth, when they happen to have sores on their skin and they rub the sores on their skin, the virus will transmit to their body. So hand hygiene is something very important. And of course, lastly, will be to make sure that the environment is clean. You know, toilets should be clean, the playpen area should be clean, the playground should be clean, the desks and tables should be clean, and it should be cleaned or disinfected every day during these present circumstances.
What about beyond kindergartens and schools? Because in Penang now, the authorities have found that the virus is also on the handlebars of trolleys and on children's play equipment in supermarkets. So are we seeing a spread beyond kindergartens and schools?
Hand, foot and mouth is actually quite widespread. While the severity is more in children, it also affects adults. So, but for adults, the morbidity or the severity is actually rather low. So if an adult were to get hand, foot and mouth disease, chances are it will be in the mild stage. And this is where probably one of the issues is, in the sense that adults can actually spread the viruses when they have blisters on their hands. So if they happen to touch the places like handles of the trolleys of the supermarkets, or let's say the armrests of the chairs and so on, yes, there's a chance that the virus can transmit through those kind of areas. But in general, the recognized mode is still within the nurseries.
Hand, foot and mouth is not the only infectious disease making its rounds. Another alarming development is the increase of reported measles cases by more than 20% in the first 5 months of the year compared to the same period last year in 2017. Dr. Chong, what is our current immunization rate for MMR and how does this affect the herd immunity?
Now, the coverage of the first dose of MMR, what we call measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, is at 92.2% in 2017. From 2014 until 2017, the coverage of MMR is lower than 95%. And we need a 95% coverage, or consistently more than 95% coverage, to have what is known as herd immunity. Herd immunity is important in protecting those who are not eligible for the vaccines, such as babies who are below 9 months old or unable to be vaccinated. For instance, the child has certain medical conditions that prevents her from being vaccinated. Now, once the coverage gets lower, there's a build-up in numbers of the susceptible children that are not immunized against measles every year. which in turn weakens the herd immunity and measles can thereby spread and cause outbreaks. From January to June 2018, there are already 80 reported measles outbreaks in Malaysia compared to 115 for the whole of the year 2017.
What are the potential serious complications of measles?
One thing will be that it affects the lungs and causes severe pneumonia. And untreated, it can actually lead to death as well.
What is your advice to parents with regard to the MMR vaccination?
Well, I do believe that the vaccines that are used in Malaysia have been evaluated before they are registered with the pharmaceutical division. So they are evaluated for efficacy, safety and quality. So we are very confident of the vaccines that we are using here in the Ministry of Health, as well as those being used by our counterparts in the private. I would like to reassure the people out there, the parents, our vaccines are totally safe and we should not fear of the rumors that our vaccines can cause severe adverse effects, so to speak. Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Chong. That was Datuk Dr. Chong Chee Kiong, Director of the Disease Control Division in the Ministry of Health, giving us an update on the situation with regard to hand, foot and mouth disease, as well as measles in the country. We will be speaking to Datuk Dr. Christopher Lee, Infectious Diseases Specialist at Hospital Sungai Buloh, who's also Head of Infectious Diseases with the Ministry of Health, to get the full picture on these infectious childhood diseases. Don't forget to tune in to Health and Living next Friday, 3rd of August, at 4 p.m. for that conversation. You've been listening to The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.